You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Jamie Ross on the line, and she's an outreach and marketing executive at Inner Voice Media. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, Jamie. So I'm so excited to have you on the show today and to talk about your work and, of course, using music and arts to mobilize a community. I think as we were preparing for this interview, I mean, I think of music and arts as a way to bring people together, but how do we actively use that to mobilize a community and maybe affect some change and bring everybody together? I know you're doing that with your projects, things like Kidzapalooza and others that we'll go into. Just to get us started, we'll start this interview the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Jamie, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jamie, what mission matters to you?
Wow, what a great question. My mission is definitely solidified in community. It's to bring together different communities as far as intergenerational, interracial, intergender, however you want to display that, but to bring all communities together. For me, it's really important. I started in my hometown. I left my hometown for 15 years. And when I finally had my son, I realized that's where I wanted to be. So I've been working hands-on, groundwork, feet in the dirt, to try to just wherever needs to be, right? To be a team player in this community. The best way to do that for me is through arts. Arts, culture, that's what brings your community together. When you're breaking bread and you're sitting down together and you get to have those conversations about how the day was, that's what builds your community. When your community is struggling, being able to be there when community needs you most in whatever capacity that is. And that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing here at Inner Voice Media. And that's what I do with my music.
It's awesome. And I want to I want to stick on that subject a little bit more. So let's go further into your history. So how did music evolve to be such a huge part of your life? Where did that start for you?
Yeah, great. I always loved music. You know, we were little. I have four brothers, and my father loved the Jackson Five. So for every birthday or for every holiday, we would all get together and take different portions of the Jackson Five. And my brother and I would fight over who would be Michael. He loved singing. I loved singing. And so it was always ingrained in me, you know, that's what kept us together was the dance parties at night. It was always a part of me, but I was always nervous to bring it out. So it took me until I was about 20 in college, and I joined a slam poetry team. And our slam poetry team traveled all over the U.S. We won some, we lost some, but it really encouraged me to find my voice and to start advocating for what I believe in. And I think agency and advocation is a huge part of what the community needs is again, finding that voice. So through that, I fell in love with poetry, and I was so broke. I tell you, I graduated and I had a scholarship, so I didn't know what it was like to actually make money.
Yeah.
And I was broke. I was living on my girl's couch. Shout out to Dina. And I had to figure out what I needed to do and where I needed to be. I saw something on the side of the road in Compton that said MC competition, $250. I need that money. I really need that money. So I went home and I studied MC battling, and I showed up in the middle of Compton with high heels and a mini skirt, and I competed and I walked home with $250 that night.
Wow.
And from there, my confidence level was huge. So I ended up in New York. I would compete, I would MC battle in New York in the middle of the Bronx, you know, where hip hop was originated.
Wow.
And I had a lot of mentors show me the way. This wasn't something I could do on my own. I had a lot of incredible mentors along the way, which inspired me to follow through with that mentorship. So from there, it just went on. I signed to Universal and realized that there's a difference between corporate America and community America. And I wasn't really the industry I thought I wanted to be there. You know, we all think we see the glamour and the Ritz and the cars and the girls, and we all want to be where that person is.
Yeah.
But then when you get there, you know, it's pretty lonely. They say it's lonely at the top. And I ended up coming back home, starting my nonprofit, Beats Lyrics Leaders, and took music on the road through community advocacy.
Wow. What a story. And I'm just like, I'm still trying to picture what this is like to see you, you know, just starting out and in the middle of Compton and in the middle of a battle. Like that's, first off, that's an awesome story. But I think, I think one of the things that it reminds me of is like right now, like let's say present day, you know, there's a lot of individuals that are, you know, let's just think if we were talking to the Jamie that was just getting started or just kind of finding her voice, right? And now we're in a slightly different world from the standpoint of social media and all these other pressures. I feel like the person that's out there, that's whether they're an artist or a musician or whatever their thing is that they're inclined to do, like they're struggling to find their voice. And there's a lot of different pressures nowadays. Mm-hmm. What kind of things would you tell them helped you maybe along your way to find yours?
Well, I think you nailed it, Adam, when you said it's not the same. Like what our kids are going through now and what I went through, I don't want to give my age away, but 20 years ago, you know, it's completely different.
Well, come on. You went through a battle. You went through, you were battling. I mean, I'm from Michigan. I'm from Detroit. Yes. So when I say, you know, the first hip hop concert, or actually the first concert I ever seen in person was an Eminem concert before, like way back when in some small little venue. So I know I follow, but I'm like, so when I picture this, I'm like, oh my gosh, an amazing story. But then I'm like, you know, you had your own, you know, things that you had to go through, but now they're going through some different things. So that's the context of the question.
Right. No, and it's the same concept, right? Mm-hmm. I was a female and a light-skinned female battling in the midst of a dark-skinned male-dominated. It almost felt like a sports or entertainment industry, you know?
For sure.
So, and I think we still struggle. Our youth still struggle in that way where they feel like the person left out. They feel like they don't belong. They feel like the different person. And then you add social media on top of it. And for me, I really encourage these children to use their differences. Take that and run with it. What makes you different? And then that's your niche. That's where you need to be.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm on the Board of Education in our hometown, on the AUSD Board of Ed, and really trying to connect with these students, especially in middle school and post-COVID, and bringing confidence back into these students' lives.
Yeah.
It's been the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
So I see musicians on campus all the time in middle school. I see these little rappers and I see these beat makers and I see these singers, and one guy had his guitar out.
Yeah.
And you know, I think just as an adult sitting there and listening is huge. Walking up and saying, "Wow, that sounds great. Let me hear some more."
Yeah.
They don't hear that. Especially when you're rapping, your mom's like, "Stop rapping. Turn that down." You know, so it's like any type of encouragement we can do is going to bring the arts back into whatever we do.
And maybe just talking to the parents for a moment or two, yourself being a parent, and maybe like to me, you'd be the cool parent, right? Because you're artistically, you're artistically
inclined. Ask my son.
Like you're a musician, you get it. You speak the language, so you get it. But like if like me, you know, one day if I'm blessed to be a parent, then I don't get it. Like I just know I don't. Like I try, but like I'm never gonna be the cool parent. So like for those that are watching their, you know, gifted child and don't necessarily always know or understand, you know, how to handle that or how to encourage it, right? Like the rapping part, like you said, like you hear your kid in the room all of a sudden, like you hear a certain type of music or you hear all these lyrics and you're like, I don't know, what's going on? I don't even know. Like, what kind of things would you tell them? Because the parents nowadays, I feel, are also facing a different journey.
100%. And there's so many different children. Like I don't know how to break it down into one corner.
Of course.
Because you have those hip hop students that love what what's going on in hip hop right now. And that's not what we want to see our students loving, you know, and then you have a whole nother different conscious hip hop. And those, you know, I work with students that are really trying to advocate for just their rights. Hey, I want to be able to, right now we just stopped transportation, busing. And one of my students was writing a song about how's he going to get to school now? And how important it was for him to get there, you know? So being able to use music as advocacy is completely different than these students that are coming up cursing every other curse word. Yeah, and, you know, it's totally different. So my advice to parents is completely different. But overall, again, it's, if we just listened, I have to stop myself. My child's five and I feel like I know what's the best for him.
Yeah.
I feel like I can sit him down and say, hey, probably shouldn't jump backwards out a window. Like that doesn't, for him, he's in parkour. He does ninja stuff. That's what he wants to try. He wants to try to do a flip.
Yeah.
For me, I'm telling him he shouldn't do that. But instead I listen to him. Why do you want to do that? How are you going to do this so it doesn't hurt? Let's take you to ninja school so we can train you to land. You know what I mean? Cause I don't know if you could land this yet. So let's train you. So I'm listening to what his needs are and what his wants are. And then we're trying to collaboratively come up with how he can then proceed to do what he wants to do while I make sure he's safe.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a lot. So I'm glad you brought up that example, by the way, because like some people are watching and like, they may not get what the whole parkour thing is. And they're like, wait, watch this YouTube video, mom or dad. I'm not just jumping off of
parkour is nuts.
Yeah, it is. You mentioned your nonprofit. I want to maybe circle back to that for a moment. Like, tell us a little bit more about that, because I think one of the other themes that I've noticed in your career is that, you know, when you've been blessed and you've been able to do a certain thing, you've kind of looked for a way to give back and to, you know, put the lens on it that allows other people to benefit as well. So maybe tell us a little bit more about the nonprofit you started.
Yeah. So first, I believe that our generation, the way we work, we search for purpose. We don't work for a paycheck. We work for purpose. It's a little bit different. And so for me, when I was working in the music industry, that wasn't my purpose. My purpose was not to be a famous rock star. but my purpose is music and my purpose is art. And so how do I use that purpose to benefit everything around me, right? If our students and our children are succeeding, I'm succeeding. So it wasn't, my original thing was, it wasn't that I wanted to give back. I didn't want to give money. I didn't want to just give time. I didn't want to just volunteer. And then I work really closely with a Native population, and I didn't, white fragility and white savior is a huge thing. It's a complex, right? To come in and say, I'm going to go save these kids because they need saving. So I didn't want it to be anything like that. That was never my purpose is music and art. And how do I benefit a community? I formed a group called Beats Lyrics Leaders. And I had two co-founders. We are all their beat makers. You know, I was signed to Universal, so I have access to all these incredible musicians. And I thought, how can I bring these musicians to where they're needed most? Right? Equity, resource, access, opportunity. So how do I provide that to students that don't have that? So Beats Lyrics Leaders, I was on tour and somebody stopped me on tour and they said, hey, could you do this workshop for my students? I have Olympia, Washington. I have one of the tribes, the local tribes I'm working with their students. Can you stop by and just talk to them and tell them what you do? And that day that I stopped by, a little girl stopped me and she said some really devastating stuff to me, you know, and was going through a lot, nothing I've ever heard. And it was enough to stop me in my tracks and make me realize that this was my purpose, to help these young girls realize that it's not their fault, that they have, they can do anything, and that we have opportunity to bring this to them, right? So that was, 12 years ago. Now I run with Beats Lyrics Leaders, we run 3 to 5 day conferences. We go to Native reservations. We go to military academy and bases. We go to juvenile halls. And we really try to work with these students to bring out their voice, to encourage them, to gain courage. We call it the art of business, culture, dreams, and entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So how do we take these students' definition of success and then show them or provide them or open up the door for opportunities mm-hmm. and for them to take that, you know, really make their success happen. Mm-hmm. And it's not about us empowering them. I'm not a big fan of the word empower because that mm-hmm. means we're giving them power. They're just finding their own power. They're finding their power. So they're empowering themselves. And that's the whole goal of Beats Lyrics Leaders. But again, it's using music. It's being in that purpose that helps me to unleash this or whatever it is, you know, provide this opportunity or platform for students and mentors both to grow.
What's been one of the things that just kind of sticks out to you about going on this path of, and the reason why I asked this question, by the way, is like, I know there's others that have their own, you know, their own dream, their own thing, their own way they want to give back. Right? And I know that, you know, on your journey, I know when you're giving back, when you're doing things, there's always this kind of reciprocation. It's not why you do it, but it could be a feeling. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. It could be tangible or intangible, but what's one of the things that you've kind of looked back on this experience? I believe you said, you know, 12 years in, and you're like, looking at your body of work and all these children that you've had the opportunity to interact with and, you know, and to deliver your program to, like, what's been one of the takeaways that you're like, man, I didn't know that would happen.
Well, I think it's every time I literally just got back from Portland last week. Yeah. And, I had invited a new mentor out and when he came to the scene, you know, he never worked with students, and this is an anti-suicide conference. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more emotional. Mm-hmm. And so my turning point in this was watching his aha moment, right? There's always the student, you know, watching this mentor and this student at the same time have these aha moments of, wow, life is bigger than us. Yeah. Wow, those shoes didn't matter. You know, wow, this connection is incredible. Wow, did you just change my life? Did I just change yours? Like what? You know, and watching those aha moments for me, that's what keeps me going. Mm-hmm. My hardest part is that I really want to adopt all these students. Right?
Yeah.
I want to like, oh, you're so good at rapping. I want to buy you your equipment. And I want to give them everything. Yeah. And in a sense, enable them. Mm-hmm. So I think my biggest thing, if I could take something away from this, it's how do I teach them to do it for themselves?
Yeah.
Right? How you can lead a water, what is that? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah. I don't even want to lead them to the water. I just want to show them how to find the water, you know? So that's kind of where we're working. That's what I've learned is I can't give everybody everything, even though I want to. I have to show them how to find it.
If there was, and I don't know that there is, but if there was a secret sauce here or a key or, a way to like how have you been able to connect, you know, arts and music and the community? Like, how does somebody that's inclined to do so, like, what are some of the things that you found that were useful to make that connection to actually affect change? Because you obviously have some specific process that, and maybe it comes natural, but I don't know, in my history of just understanding businesses, just entrepreneurs, nonprofits, doesn't matter the sector, like there's some type of methodology or thing like behind the scenes that makes it all tick, like 12, and whether it's, you know, 12 years later on this, or on another project you've been working at, like how are you kind of pulling this off and keeping it moving forward?
Right. And again, I'm going to go back to the very beginning of this conversation, listening, having conversations, right? So I started in my hometown because it was my hometown, but because I knew people here. My father started the Auburn Boys and Girls Club. And so it was easy to come in and say, hi, my name is, my father did this. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then sit and listen. How do we do that together? So the conversations and how to actually have a conversation without ego and power. That's two concepts we always take with us that we should leave behind. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we're not afraid to have the conversations that need to be had, again, it's, you know, I was talking about white fragility and white saviorism. We're fighting traditionalists right now, and we're trying to disrupt a system. And that's hard. People don't always want to hear that. And a lot of traditionalists, like, we get comfortable. We get so comfortable. And it's nice to be comfortable. It really is. Like, I'm not, there's no judgment. There's no blame. It's just that within comfortableness, there's always a bunch of people who are not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's not equitable. I'm not going to stand aside and flourish while everybody else is struggling to drink. You know, mm-hmm. that's just me. That's what's ingrained in me. So that's not something I think I've been taught. That was ingrained in me. What I've been taught is I just finished my master's program in leadership.
Congrats.
Thank you.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. So just again, communication, learning how to communicate with who and in what capacity. I think that's the most valuable lesson we can learn as humans.
Yeah. And you mentioned Boys and Girls Club and that, like, another wonderful organization. I mean, they, even myself growing up had a lot of ties to that. I grew up across the street from one. So, very, very close to the organization. A lot of the leadership skills and things I learned, you know, along the way, especially those early years, they're from mentors and people that I met through the club. Now that you just reminded me of that. So,
mentors are huge.
Yeah. So let's, I want to switch it up a bit here. Let's go a little bit further. So, switching topics slightly, let's talk a little bit more about the work that you're doing over at, Inner Voice Media. So, I know we did, I did a recent, interview, maybe a couple months ago with Stephen Ellestad. So the, one of that from Inner Voice Media as well. So for the listeners and viewers, maybe that didn't catch that episode, tell us a little bit more about the company overall.
Yeah, Inner Voice Media is a phenomenal company. I want you to think about like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
yeah.
creatives. So we have what's called the Creative Wonder Lab here in Auburn, and it's a full audio and video production company. We do everything from live full-length films to broadcasting. We have green screens, 5.1 surround or studio sound. We have sound stages. Oh, there's so much. There's so much we can do here. Basically, our goal is once again to bring the community together. So you come tell us what your goals are and we're going to help you dream bigger. So the goal is that you dream, we help you dream bigger.
Yeah. And so I want you to maybe, as before we go further into maybe some of the projects you're working there, like tell us a little bit more about the team. Because I feel like, I mean, myself being, you know, putting together a team here at Mission Matters and just like the team, it's all about the team. It's all about the people. I mean, the facilities, by the way, amazing. Like anybody, we're obviously going to leave the website and all that stuff so our audience can check it out, because obviously the facilities and what your team's built is amazing. But like, tell us about the people.
Yeah, it really does take a team and collaboration, especially when you're dealing with creativity, is probably one of the most important aspects. So our team, it starts with Stephen Ellestad, and he's our Willy Wonka, you know, he's the crazy madman.
I wasn't going to say it. I almost led with, so tell me about Willy Wonka.
But tell us about Willy. he is completely genius, madman, incredible ideas. Just, and then he of course had to put together, he started this, he had to put together the team. He brought along Doug Stanley, who's an Emmy Award winner. And then myself, who's, working on the music side of things, the team that has helped put together Creative Wonder Lab. And you're going to talk to West Coast Modular Society. So just remember, I shouted them out. But Mason and Alex, they're our audio production, and they're astounding. Andrew is also one, and he does our post audio scoring. And then we also have Patrick, who's our video manager. He's just, I don't know what we would do without him, especially in our rentals. We're about to open up our rentals department. And we have everything from Aries to Reds to Black Magics, lenses, lighting. And Patrick's been holding that down with Jai. Jai is our operation manager. And thank goodness he came around to organize us. And then, of course, our content creation and social media and marketing is Daria and Matt. And they, there's no way I could do this without them. They are my heart and soul of this team. And lastly, Matthew really holds us together. Matthew's our IT and IS, and we couldn't even function without him. So we, you know, right now what we're trying to do as a team is break down our process and really figure out what this means to hold together. Again, you have so many creatives and artistic personalities working together. How do you organize that together in a fashion that is efficient and effective? And that's what we're really, really honing down in, so we can get through movies quickly or whatever it is we need to do. But yeah, thank you for shouting out the team, because our team is
phenomenal.
We have interns too that just, oh my gosh, they're so great. So shout out to Alyssa and Aria and Rex, because they're amazing.
It's special. And especially when you're thinking, well, when you're thinking about creatives, when you're thinking about like putting what it takes to get a, you know, something up on a screen that's meaningful and like the heart has to be in it. Like you can tell, you can feel like you start to get a feel for when certain things are hitting, like are all working, and when a whole team is on the same page with something. So no, I had to bring it up.
Thank you.
let's get into some of the projects and just some of the other things. So I want to start with maybe Kids of Palooza. So let's start there, and we'll kind of weave some more of this in, because we got a lot to cover, because I've been waiting to get you on the show for a long time.
Well, thank you. Kids of Palooza is my baby. Yeah. We started that last year just as a post-COVID type of how do we bring the community together?
Yeah.
I started working with the Auburn Parks and Recreation. We call them ARD out here. We sat down to try to figure out what can we do for the kids. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about school, being on the school board, and just knowing all of these students are kind of looking and searching for something to do. We put together, it's music, art, and wellness. Hmm. And so we have three different sections. It's an event that happens in September, September 1st. It'll be 4:30 to 7 at ARD. Mm-hmm. And you can check our website for that information. It's free for kids. And we have one section set up that will be Intervoice Media will lead with West Coast Modular Society. And that'll be our synthesizer section. So they're going to bring a bunch of instruments, things people have never heard, never played with, never touched, beat machines, and just allow students to explore sound. Mm-hmm. And then we have art. So we have our service, a bunch of our service groups out here in Auburn are participating. Our Auburn Library's coming out. The police department's coming out. They're bringing an obstacle course for us for our wellness.
Yeah,
it's really important. I'm on the police chief committee and community committee, and it's just really important for me. If you're going to work with the community, you have to work with all aspects. Mm-hmm. And so, bringing them involved was strategically planned so that they can also be a part. You know, we push them out so much. And so that was all these individuals we kind of just wanted to bring within the community and have that and share a common denominator, which would be children.
And it's so interesting for me to hear this, and kind of as I've gotten to know your team a bit, is that like when you think about production studio, when you think about like the level of work you're doing, I don't normally like, and this could be my fault and my error, maybe a lot of production studios are doing this, maybe a lot of people aren't, I just don't know, but I don't normally think the first thing is like bringing the community together for an amazing event and to promote arts and music overall. Right. With no like direct, you have to do, you know, this or that. Like I've heard of like it's just, it's special, isn't it?
It's amazing. And I mean, that's why Stephen brought me on, was because of my community connection and the fact that I'm already doing all the outreach. So joining Intervoice was not even, it was a blessing. It was an honor because now I have a group that supports what I'm doing and I can support what they're doing. But no, productions, I don't know that they necessarily do this. You know, we throw, this is our annual event we throw for the kids. We're in the schools. Yeah. Myself and some of my partners here, we ran a drama club at one of the elementary schools. Mm. We go in and teach music and beat making into the middle school. Right now we're running classes. So it's not just sales. Like we really, you know, when you think about what we do here at production, you can't be anything without the community. How are we going to film in Auburn?
Yeah.
If we don't have access to those spots, how are we going to bring in our extras in Auburn if we don't have access to extras?
And it seems like, I mean, the community has to be embracing this, right? Like I know you're going to the next event. Like what's been the feedback?
Oh yeah. Well, again, you have traditionalists, right? That just want comfortability.
Yeah.
And in Auburn, we have a lot of traditionalists. And so some people are a little weary and why are you bringing Hollywood to Auburn? we totally get it. And then the other half is just totally ecstatic to have something like this here and to have access to this. You know, again, this is where I went to school. So I know a lot of the parents here now, and they're just excited that their kids have access to something like this. It's a mixture, of course. But I think overall, Auburn is really excited to have us, and we're really blessed to be here.
Let's spend a little bit more time on the facility itself. So, you know, obviously this is a nationwide show and you know, people will be watching it from varying needs, from business to production and otherwise. Like, tell us a little bit more about the facility and maybe some of the types of projects that maybe make sense.
Yeah, of course. So we offer our facility, we offer services, and we also offer rental. And we have camera gear that you really can't find elsewhere. And we'll send where needs to be sent, or we'll do what we got to do to get you what you need. And so a lot of what we bring is in our equipment and our service. Who's offering that? So let's see, what do we have in our facility? We have our Flex Studio. If you wanted to come in and you need a place to that's more new media, that has access to the outer world, via internet or whatever it is, we have that room for you. Makeup and design. We have character development. We write storylines. And then we work our way all the way up to service of either filming or providing everything you need to film. We have the facility, which offers a green screen, sound stage, broadcasting. We can go live on the stage. What else do we have? We can go, we send our services wherever need be. So right now our video team is working with a group called T360, and they've been flown out to Las Vegas, out to Florida, and they've been collecting all the footage for these amazing events. And then they come back and they put together 30-second, 60-second, 90-second social media shorts so that you know, obviously the world can see what's going on. So a lot of content creation we do for businesses, and we'll fly out anywhere to make that happen. Doug Stanley is also, he's been all over the world filming. So you tell us what you need, and we're going to make that happen. We work with any budget. So basically you tell us what you need, and we're going to make it happen.
That's awesome. I just wanted to give a scope of the work, because I know it's broad. It's broad what you're able to pull off. And I know you have a really experienced team. So that's awesome. Well, Jamie, I just have to say it's been great finally getting you on the show. Obviously doing a deep dive into the Chocolate Factory and Intervoiced Media. So, and then all the great events you're doing. I mean, Kidzapalooza, I'm looking forward to seeing that happen again. And just all the other things you're doing really to bridge the community between the arts, the community, and really create inclusive environments and opportunities for both kids and young adults and adults to grow alike, right? And for all of us to mesh together better. So thank you for that. So I just have to ask, I know you're busy. What's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Intervoice Media?
Yeah. For Intervoice, we definitely have our jam sessions, which we call Soundcheck. That happens every last Sunday of the month, where you can come in, explore whatever instruments we put out, and just get to know and network with whoever's here. We also offer a meetup, which is third Thursdays, and that's for the West Coast Modular Society. So any synth lovers definitely need to tap into that. We are offering classes. Right now I'm throwing a rock star camp for 8 to 12-year-olds. And I have some phenomenal singers in that class. So we'll be putting together a showcase. Stephen Ellistad's running a creative photography as well as a creative writing class. So that's something that would be really, if you're interested in something like that, come out. That'd be fun. So Intervoice is going. Be prepared. We got horror shorts coming out from Twisted Tales. We have live productions coming out. So stay tuned for that. As far as myself, I'm just growing. I'm so excited. I'm going to be looking into my doctorate's degree in hip hop leadership, and really just tying in ends as far as education and music and arts, and how do we circulate that through marginalized students. So really tapping into that. I'm performing. We just did a bunch of performances. I wish I could shout those out, but we just did those. So we'll have some more performances coming up for you. My band is phenomenal, so I can't wait to show you them. We're moving and grooving. Just come check us out.
That's great. How do people get in touch, and how do they connect with all this great content? So everything from meetups to obviously a production facility to follow your music and your work. Like, how do people connect?
Yeah, for sure. Intervoice.media is your first connection, and that'll connect you to our website, which will bring you to, you know, we got the Insta and the LinkedIn and the YouTube, the Facebooks. That's all Intervoice Media or Creative Wonder Lab. And then for myself, I'm under J Ross Parelli, which is Parrelli. So you can find me on any social media, tap in, message me, let me know what's going on. How can I support?
Yeah. It's awesome. And we'll put all that information, by the way, into the show notes so that our audience can just click on the notes and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time engaging with the Mission Matters platform or listening to an episode, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, their mission. Like, why do they do what they do? Like, what wakes them up in the morning, gets them all fired out, up to go out into the world and make a difference? And what can we all learn from that, right? How do we all learn and grow together from that experience? If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jamie, really, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show today, learning more about your work and your journey and, of course, doing a dive into Inner Voice Media. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.